Kötü pardon ya. Kur'an bir ara kötü pardon.
Okay. I'm going to chant a bhajan. I hope. I haven't done it for a long time. This is the song from Narottam Das Thakur. It's about the glories of Sri Gauranga. I'd like to read the translation first. Then we can chant it together. It's a simple melody. And then we'll read from a commentary Srila Prabhupada gave on this bhajan and speak a little bit as well. The translation is, anyone who has accepted two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya as their only asset knows the true essence of devotional service. If anyone gives submissive oral reception to the pleasing and sweet pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then immediately his heart becomes cleansed of all material contamination. Anyone who simply chants the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya will immediately develop love of God. I offer him all congratulations by saying bravo. If anyone feels ecstasy and cries by simply hearing the transcendental qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he at once understands the eternal loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Anyone who has understood that the associates of Lord Chaitanya are eternally liberated souls immediately becomes eligible to enter into the abode of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. In his next birth, if anyone understands that there is no difference between Godad Mandala, the place in West Bengal wherein Lord Chaitanya had his pastimes, and the transcendental abode of Sri Vrindavan Dham, then he actually lives in Vrindavan. Anyone who takes pleasure sporting within the waves of the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's distribution of love of God immediately becomes a confidential devotee of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. It doesn't matter whether such a devotee is in the renounced order of life or whether he is a householder. If he is actually taking part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan activities and actually understanding what it is, then such a person is always liberated. Narottam Das aspires for his association.
Jarakane Praveshira
Kanyera Madhuralila Chakane Bhaveshila Hidayahim Hidayanim ala vela ta Hidayanim ala Oh,
jai bhajan rasuta bha Gaura mandala bhune che bhajane chintamane Krishna, Hare Hare,
This is a song by Narottam Das. If any of you are coming to take darshan, please feel welcome to come take darshan. Shri Shri Radha Gopi Vallabha. This is a song by Narottam Das Thakur in praise of glories of Lord Chaitanya. Gauranga refers to Lord Chaitanya who has a fair complexion. One who has a fair complexion is called Gaura, and since Lord Chaitanya was very fair, just like molten gold, he was also named Gaurasunda. Narottam Das Thakur says, Gaurangira duti pada jar dhana sampada se jane bhakti rasa sar. Anyone who has accepted the two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya can understand the true essence of devotional service. Devotional service is very difficult. It cannot be understood by an ordinary man. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, out of many thousands of persons who are trying to achieve the perfection of human life, only some actually become perfect and realize the self. And out of many thousands of such realized persons, only one can understand Krishna. Without understanding Krishna, how can one engage himself in the service of Krishna? Therefore, the devotional service of Krishna is not an ordinary thing. But fortunately, if one follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, Gaurangira Duti Pada, by following the path shown by Lord Chaitanya, the process of simply chanting Hare Krishna, he can very easily understand what devotional service it is. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur prays that one take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and follow in his footsteps, for then one can understand the essence of devotional service. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unminitam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yakipa Tamaham Vande Shri Gunundina Tananam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastacha De Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary for the beginning of this bhajan, raises a very important point about the nature of bhakti or devotional service. Devotional service is generally not very easy to understand. In fact, not only is it not easy to understand, but generally it's not very easy to obtain. Externally, it may appear that somebody is doing the same activity as any other person. But bhakti, or devotional service, actually, what constitutes bhakti is the intent or the purpose behind one's service. Everyone is serving. And this is explained by Srila Prabhupada in his introduction to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is written by Rupa Goswami, where he also explains that the propensity to serve is a natural innate propensity of every living being. Just as the nature of water is to be liquid, in the same way the nature of the living being is to be a servant. Or just as the nature of sugar is to be sweet, in the same way, the nature of a living being is to serve. It's our constitutional nature and it cannot be taken away. If we do not serve the Supreme, then as Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that we will find many other masters to render service. And in human society, human beings are rendering service amongst their family members, they're rendering service to the political leaders. The political leaders make their claims to serve the citizens. The citizens serve the political leaders by casting their votes. The husband, he serves his wife. The wife serves the husband. The parents serve their children. The children serve their parents. The friend serves a friend. Another friend returns that service for his other friend. And if we do not have any object of affection to which we can render our service, then we can find ourselves becoming subordinate to the dictations of our mind and senses and become subservient to them. And in this way, and of course, although we may not recognize that in the greater scheme of things, in the universal affairs, that there are predominating deities or demigods who are responsible for the heat and light and for sunlight and for water, for the air that we breathe. These things are all provided through the universal arrangement, the divine arrangement, ultimately created by the Supreme Lord. And the Bhagavad Gita gives so many different various explanations that if one does not render service to the predominating deities of these various elements that are required for human subsistence, then there will be shortages. So, therefore, a recommendation is to give to satisfy the demigods. Also, one must perform sacrifice. But Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita, yagyatat kamanonyocha lokayam kamra bandana. Said work performed as a sacrifice to the Supreme Lord Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work will bind one to this world. Therefore, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and that way you'll be able to remain unattached and free from bondage. The recommendations which are given in Bhagavad Gita is that as long as everyone has to serve, then the best object of service is to render service to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives so many simple analogies to understand this propensity to serve, and analogies are very helpful, especially in trying to understand philosophy, trying to understand that which is maybe difficult to conceptualize. But the simple analogy which is given by Srila Prabhupada and is given also in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that by watering the root of the tree, then simultaneously one can satisfy and render service to the leaves, to the branches, and all other aspects of the tree simply by going to the root. The other analogy which is given is by giving food to the stomach, then one doesn't have to make any secondary efforts to satisfy the needs of the eyes, of the ears, of the different extensions of the body. Simply by placing food into the stomach, then the stomach is the source of nourishment for the entire body, and the body benefits simply by placing the food in one place. In the same way, Krishna, who is the original Supreme Lord, who is the source of everything, and if he is satisfied by our natural propensity to serve, then ultimately, if he is satisfied, then bhajaniya paramatra svasukadvam is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that to the degree that Krishna is pleased or satisfied by our service to him, reciprocally, we find internal satisfaction. But if we approach the Supreme Lord in a mood of a merchant, thinking that, yes, I'm dependent upon the Supreme, and if I give him something, then he is bound to reciprocate and provide something in return, and if he doesn't do that, then I'll no longer consider him an object worthy of service, then that kind of mercantile relationship with the Supreme Lord is not the type of service which actually satisfies him. And although one may worship the demigods, forgetting the material necessities of life, and the demigods may reciprocate, but as Bhagavad Gita also says, mayava vihitam hitam, that whatever the demigods may be offered in reciprocation for sacrifices performed for them are ultimately given by the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Because he is the provider of all the ingredients of material nature. Isha Upanishad says, Isha Vasam Vidang Savam Yat Kidsha Jagat Yam Jagat Tena Tak Tena Bunjita Magvira Kasya Svidanam, that everything animate and inanimate within this universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept those things from himself which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. This is how one who has the proper understanding of the nature of this world, he works with the understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. This is, Isha Upanishad said, everything animate and inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Srila Prabhupada used to give a simple example of just like the father may give an allowance to the child. And the child is completely dependent upon his parents. He doesn't have any means of livelihood. He doesn't have any other way of getting money. Of course, when I was young, we used to go out and collect bottles and get 2 cents each for them. And bring them to the store. I don't know if they still do that anymore. We used to get 2 cents, I don't know. Huh? Now you get 5 cents. Oh. We used to get the Coca-Cola bottles and the Pepsi bottles. We get 2 cents each. But didn't usually add up to very much. But otherwise, if the father, he gives an allowance to the son, and the son thinks, what should I do with this allowance? So if the son goes to the store, as I used to do with the money I used to get from my bottles, and I used to get 25 cents allowance every week too. I would go to the store, and we such a thing called penny candy. I guess that's probably before your time. Some of you, anyways. We used to go to the penny candy store, bring all our pennies in, and I remember all the different candies in there. The red licorice, the black licorice, and probably they cost a quarter or 50 cents now, who knows. But they were a penny back then. And we would gather up whatever candy, small amounts of candy we would get. So Prabhupada gives the analogy of just like a child, he gets the allowance from the father, he goes to the store, he purchases some candy, and then he comes back to his father and says, here, father, look what I've purchased for you. And Prabhupada says that that's just like a devotee. A devotee, he understands that everything is given to him. And the father, immediately, the father is very pleased, but it's not that he's pleased by the candy. He's pleased by the fact that the child has taken what the father has given him, and he's coming back, and he's saying, here, father, look what I'm giving. It came from the father, but the child is saying, look, this is what I'm offering to you. Please take it. And the father, oh, thank you so much. Now, it may be that he likes licorice, and he didn't get a chance to go to the store the day to get his own supply. But actually, the analogy, if looked at from the perspective of the way Srila Prabhupada presents it, he explains that it is just like a devotee. He understands that ultimately everything is coming from Krishna. And when the devotee understands that everything is coming to Krishna, he offers it back to Krishna, then Krishna is very pleased. And he says, whatever you offer with me, if you offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water, if you offer it with love and devotion, then Krishna says, I'm very inclined to accept it. But it's not the leaf, fruit, or flower, or water that Krishna is inclined to accept. If Krishna is the proprietor of everything, then why in the world does he need a leaf? Why in the world does he need a flower? It's already his anyways. But what attracts him is the love. That's what attracts him. So he doesn't need anything. But when he sees that somebody is making an offering to him for his pleasure, he becomes naturally very pleased by that offering, and that's what he wishes to reciprocate, is an offering of love, not the particular ingredient which has been offered. This is the essence of service, and this is the essence of bhakti. And the point that Srila Prabhupada is making in this particular song about what Lord Chaitanya came to teach, that devotional service is not so very easy to understand. It could be a mystery. It may look externally to be like the same thing that everybody else is doing. And In fact, I was just recently, I was telling this morning, how I used to go and give lectures in the colleges, and the students used to ask questions about what do we do, you know, and how we, and I was telling them that, you know, how we live in the temple, we rise early in the morning. But I also used to tell the students that there are many people in our movement who are lawyers, who are doctors, who are working in crafts, trades, and government workers. And although they may appear to be doing the same thing as everybody else is doing, they may appear to be professors, lawyers, doctors, and they may appear to be government workers. But actually, if their motivation for doing that is simply to maintain body and soul and to utilize the fruits of their work to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there's a very, very gulf of difference between one who's working to satisfy the Supreme and one who's simply working for his own personal enjoyment. And yet, both persons may appear to be engaged in the same activity, but the motive is quite different. So, I even remember, half the time I give this example, I remember that when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I used to go out and distribute books, and sometimes we would distribute books in extremely cold weather. And we would go out, and I definitely remember this place. It's called Greensburg, Pennsylvania. It's in the mountains near Altoona. Maybe it's Greensburg. I just remember it was like minus 30 degrees. It was so cold. And it was so cold that you know, I'd have to put my hand up to my eyes sometimes to get my eye to open because the eyelids would get. And we would standing out there, and we were distributing books to people, and people would stop and say, "What, are you crazy?" You know. And the first question they ask is, "How much do you get paid for this?" Right? How much do you get paid for this? They think we must be getting paid like thousands of dollars. What lunatic would stand out in the freezing cold weather? Because they don't understand what payment there is in sacrifices for the Supreme Lord. It looks like a person who's just crazy, but they cannot understand. It's a mystery. Because people think that to perform austerities, to work and perform in a very difficult way, that means there has to be something tangible. There has to be money in the bank. Something tangible, some tangible result to show for one's sacrifice. But it's a mystery. It cannot be understood simply by looking at it externally. If one wants to understand bhakti, it cannot be understood unless one gets the opportunity to come in contact with somebody who has bhakti. And when somebody who has bhakti shares his realizations, his experience, and shows by his example what is bhakti, then, by that example, one can begin to see what is bhakti. Otherwise, it's all theory. It's just theoretical. And that's what Lord Chaitanya came to teach. Although he is the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came because he understood in this age of Kali Yuga, people are not so much inclined towards austerities. They're not so much inclined towards even religious life and performance of sacrifices. They're not so much inclined to engage in religious activities unless there's some fruit, some tangible fruit. Right? Krishna says that, men of small knowledge, they're very much attracted to the flowery words of Vedas, which recommend various types of sacrifices by which one can get elevation to heavenly planets, one can get good birth, power, so forth. Being attached to sense gratification and opulent life, they think that all of Vedic wisdom, they think there's nothing more than this, that the purpose of engaging in religious activities is Dharma is to get artha, religious activities for economic development, for sense gratification. So Krishna says that such persons who perform such sacrifices, they're attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommended these various types of sacrifices. But actually, such persons do not know that these flowers appear to be very attractive, but they're poisonous. In the same way, Krishna also says that just as all the purposes of a small pond can be served by great reservoirs of water, similarly all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by one who knows the purpose behind them. And the purpose behind the Vedic wisdom is to know who is Krishna. Vedaishta Sayavaira Aham Eva Veda Vedanta Krit Veda Veda Eva Chaham. Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the Kampala de Vedanta. I am the knower of the Vedas. The whole purpose behind all the sacrifices is to know who is Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada says, we just read this tonight, Srila Prabhupada said in his commentary. He said, without understanding Krishna, how can one engage himself in the service of Krishna? Therefore, the devotional service of Krishna is not an ordinary thing. But fortunately, if one follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, Gaurangya Dutipada, by following the path shown by Lord Chaitanya, the process of simply chanting Hare Krishna, he can very easily understand what devotional service is. Although Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, he came to teach by his example what is love for Krishna. Without example, it's very difficult to follow us, as we said, especially in this age. People are not very much inclined in the In the age of Kali, men are quarrelsome, lazy. They have short memories. They are misguided and unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. That's one of the symptoms of the present age of Kali. Above all, their minds are always disturbed. It's so difficult, and they're to fix the mind on the actual goal in life. Kamasya nendriya pratiya labo jivita yavata jivasya tatva jigyasya nato yeshka cheha karma bi. That life's desire shouldn't be directed towards sense enjoyment. One should desire to live because the human form of life enables one to inquire about the absolute truth, to know who is Krishna. And this should be the goal of all of one's work. So Lord Chaitanya understood in this age people are not so much inclined to know who is Krishna. People are not so much inclined to make sacrifices for Krishna. People are not so much inclined to engage in religious activity unless there's some immediate fruit, some result. So Lord Chaitanya came to deliver a process that is very easy, and he showed himself by his own example. He made it so sweet. He relished it himself, and by relishing it and making it so sweet, he made it so attractive to others to taste for themselves. So he came to teach by example what is love of Krishna. He says, if I don't come and teach by example, then no one will know what is the proper path to follow. So he said, I have to come again. Previously, he appeared as Lord Krishna. He said that previously, when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he told everybody that sarva dhammam paricca ja mamikam sharanam braja. You have to abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. Surrender? Most people don't want to surrender. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself, and he came and taught by his own example what is that surrender. Surrender is chanting Hare Krishna. He's satisfied by those who simply chant his names. He's given a process by which he can be so easily pleased in this age simply by chanting his names. Kalea dosha nidhe rajan asti heko mahadguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha paramvachet. The age of Kali is an ocean of all bad qualities, but it has one redeeming quality. Kirtanadeva krishnasya. That if one simply chants kirtan, chants Hare Krishna, mukta sangha param vartet, he can achieve mukta, liberation, freedom from the bondage of this world. But not only freedom from bondage, but Lord Chaitanya came to teach how to establish one's connection with Krishna. By his example, he taught that by chanting Krishna's names, one can render service to the Lord and develop one's natural, spontaneous love for the Supreme Lord. Yuga Dhamma Pravataimu Naima Sankirtan Chari Bhavi Bhakti Diyan Nachamu Bhuvan. Lord Chaitanya said that the Yuga Dhamma of this age is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. I have come to establish this Yuga Dhamma. He says, I will make the whole world dance in ecstasy. Realizing the four transcendental mullos of loving, ecstatic, devotional service unto me. This is his purpose. Whereas previous, when he came as Krishna, he said, first you surrender. When he came as Chaitanya, he said, simply take. You don't have to surrender. Just take. Just add. Add Krishna. When you add Krishna, then what happens? Because Krishna is Pavitram, he's pure. And Krishna's name is Pavitram, is also completely pure. The more you associate with Krishna in the form of his name, the more the heart becomes clean. And the more the heart becomes clean, then the natural desire to love Krishna manifests. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sajakabunoi, Shravanadi Sutta Chite Koriya Udoi. That pure love for Krishna is eternally situated in the heart of every living being. Everyone has the innate propensity to love Krishna. It's there. We all want to love somebody. That's what everybody wants. Everybody's looking for love. It's very powerful. What is love? But we do so many things and call it love, but what is real love? Real love means no conditions. Real love means I serve the beloved, not because I expect something from them, but the only thing I expect from them is that they allow me to serve them. That's love. I don't care if something comes back, because my innate propensity is to serve, best to find the best object of service. And Krishna is that best object of service, because he says that anyone who loves me, he says, if you surrender to me and love me, I reciprocate accordingly. He reciprocates that love. And how does he reciprocate that love? He bestows the greatest benediction that one can possibly achieve in the human form of life. He gives one love for him. It's very difficult to get love. In fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says he glorifies Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ocean of transcendental mercy. He says, although the subject of bhakti is very difficult to understand, he's made it very easily accessible in this age of Kali. Ordinarily, it's very difficult, but he made it so easy, so easily accessible. Whenever I quote this verse, it makes me think. I have a little story I wanted to tell in this connection. It's a story about Srila Prabhupada, and then I'll end here, and then we can chant some more. I realize we didn't have Artik tonight, so we should have a little more kirtan. But there was, I can't remember when it was, some time ago. There used to be an ashram. It still is there, I think. Yogi Amrit Desai, his ashram. What's the name of the ashram? Kripala Ashram, yes. Kripala Ashram. And I remember that Yogi Amrit Desai, he met with Srila Prabhupada in the 70s. And he had appreciation for Prabhupada. And one of the things he had said in his conversation with Prabhupada is that he couldn't do what Prabhupada did. He said, you've made bhakti accessible. And he said, therefore, he said, when you came to the West, he came to the West also sometime around the same time. So when you came to the West, you were able to do what I wasn't able to do. I wasn't able to make others take up the path of bhakti. But you were able to do it. And I remembered that conversation, and we were invited to the Kripalu Ashram. Many of us went there for a kirtan in his ashram. Where's Mukta? Was he with us? I can't remember. Oh, Mukta's not here. And Yogi Amrit Desai told his disciples to invite us, and he said, you can invite them, but just for kirtan, no lecture. So they contacted us, and he said, would you like to come to our ashram and have kirtan with us? So we agreed. We went to the ashram. And then when we arrived there, they were having their aarti ceremony, and they were singing their prayers. And then they invited us to begin leading kirtan. And then Yogi Amrit Desai came in during the kirtan, and he kind of sat down on his asan while we were having a kirtan and just watching the whole thing while we were having a kirtan. And he seemed to be appreciating it, but he wanted to keep his distance from the event. And then one devotee went over to him and put out his hand and asked, why don't you come chant with us? And he was a little resistant, and the devotee kind of... And then he got up and he started dancing and he's spinning around doing pirouettes and chanting, and all his... He had about 300 of his followers were there. And then when they saw him dancing, they just started going wild. And the kirtan then went on for about at least another 30 minutes to an hour. We had a kirtan. And then Yogi Amrit Desai sat down and looked at me and said, okay, speak. And I took advantage because I knew about that conversation we had with Prabhupada. And I told him what Srila Prabhupada could do, what was very difficult for others to do. That Srila Prabhupada made bhakti accessible because Prabhupada had bhakti. And because Prabhupada was so pure in his example, he gave others confidence and faith that bhakti is something that can be done because of his example. And then I spoke about this for quite some time. No, not long, maybe 20 minutes. I spoke about this point. And he sat there on his asan while I spoke on this topic. And then he very graciously, he gave a talk. I didn't allude whatsoever to the conversation. He said, yes, this is true. He said, I met your Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I also told him that... I could not do what he had done, that he was able to give bhakti, and I was not able to give it. And therefore, I told my disciples that if you want to learn bhakti, you have to invite the followers of Bhaktivedanta Swami to come and teach you. And he said that right to his followers at that time. And that's why he invited us. Why he didn't want us to lecture, I don't know, but the kirtan definitely changed his disposition. But this is, I think of this as an example of what Lord Chaitanya stated about Lord Chaitanya. The subject matter is very difficult to understand. But when you have somebody and the associate of somebody who has bhakti, then one can see what is bhakti, then it's so much easier than to theoretically try to understand what is bhakti without an example. So Krishna himself came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach what is an example. What is bhakti? Although he's Krishna himself, he showed what is real love of God. Real love of God means to do everything for the satisfaction of the Lord, to be satisfied with the opportunity to render service to the Lord, and especially in this age, that achievement of love can be so easily accessible simply by chanting Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach that process of simply take. If you take, Lord Chaitanya said, Inechiyo Shari Maya Nashi Baralagi Hari Nama Mahamantra Lao Tami Magi. I've come to give the medicine of this age. Take this Hare Krishna Mahamantra and become cured from the disease. So this is what he's come, and this is how he's come to teach bhakti. And as Prabhupada said, that here in this bhajan, that otherwise bhakti is very, very difficult to understand. And therefore one may not be able to understand what is bhakti unless one gets the opportunity to associate with a devotee of the Lord. By the mercy of a devotee of the Lord, then even those who may otherwise may never be able to understand what is bhakti, they may at least begin to understand what is bhakti. And if they begin to understand what is bhakti and begin chanting the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, then the holy name, who is non-different from Krishna himself, who cleansed the heart, Chaito-dapanamajanam bhava-mahadmi-devagni-nivrapanam, it will cleanse the heart of all the impurities, the unwanted attachments and desires that are obstacles in the path of bhakti, and bring one to the platform of perfection in one's life, in one lifetime. And Prabhupada even said, what is here? He said, what is it? I think I just read it. No, I didn't read it. I thought he said immediately. Oh, yes. If anyone who it was Narottam Das Thakur said, anyone who simply chants the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya will immediately develop love of Godhead. I know people ask the question, well, I've been chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya for 20 years, and I still don't have love of Godhead. I offer him all congratulations by saying, bravo. If anyone feels ecstasy and cries by simply hearing the transcendental qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he at once understands the eternal loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Yes, it may not happen immediately, but anyone who continues to chant sincerely will very quickly receive the fruits of love of Godhead. In this life, he'll begin to gradually be able to perceive the heart changing and a desire awakened within the heart to actually want to know more and more about what is bhakti. And even those who have bhakti, they are always thinking that they don't even have enough love for Krishna. In this way, they are always engaged in rendering service to Krishna. They don't think they do enough service for Krishna. And Krishna becomes so pleased by their activities that he bestows upon them the highest perfectional stage of life, which is pure love of Godhead. And instead of having to come back at the end of this life to this world again, he accepts them as his eternal associate. And that is also what Narottam Das Thakur goes on to explain about the eternally liberated souls who are associates of Lord Chaitanya and how they achieve that in their next birth. So, a few words about the glories of Lord Gauranga. And we cannot glorify Lord Gauranga without glorifying Srila Prabhupada, who has come to give Lord Gauranga's mercy to us in the form of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's a little bit about this Bhajan Gaurangira Duti Pada, which we've spoken about. There's much more, but we'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments they would like to make? Yes?
How can I increase my faith in the holy name?
Very good question. Yes. I oftentimes give this analogy. It's a good analogy. I like to use it. And I just recently gave this analogy to somebody. It's about ice skating. To someone who asked the same question. As it turned out, she was a professional ice skater, and she was shocked. How did you know? It was in Budapest at a lecture I was giving there. She asked a similar question. And the analogy is, that if we want to go skating on the river, then an intelligent person will not simply walk up to the river and jump on the river, because it may not hold you and you may not be seen again. But nonetheless, if we really want to go skating, and there's no other evidence that we have to know if the ice will hold us, we have to test it ourselves. So an intelligent person generally will put one foot on the ice first and test it. And when he puts one foot on the ice first and sees if it holds its weight, he'll put a little bit more weight on it. But he still keeps one foot on the bank, just in case it starts to crack under his feet and he has to run back quickly and get onto safe shore. But if it still holds him, then he thinks, well, maybe I should try putting my other foot on. And if he puts the other foot on and it still holds him, then he wants to go skating. He doesn't want to spend his whole time there just right by the edge of the river. So he has to ease his way out and to see and listen. I used to skate a lot when I was a kid. That's why I'm so graphic. That was one of my favorite activities. We used to go skating. Not, it was a river, it was a pond. Listen, any cracks? No cracks. No crackling sounds. Then you start jumping up and down. No cracks. It still holds you. What do? You put your skates on and go skating. So we have to test Hare Krishna in the same way. We don't just blindly accept, but we actually, there has to be some faith. Why? Because you want to go skating. Or, in this case, you want to develop your love for Krishna. So, if you test it, and if you test and you see that, yes, everything I've heard so far about chanting, and all the obstacles I've heard about that will come my way, and I see how they come my way, and I've heard ways of how to overcome these obstacles, and I keep on going chanting, and I have faith by continuing to chanting, then you begin to see it still holds me. It still holds. And when sometimes people ask me, you know, like because I'm asked to speak a lot about chanting Hare Krishna, I just tell them, it just so happens I've been chanting for 45 years, and it still holds me. So I have found no reason to stop chanting. So it's the same way. If you want to develop faith in chanting Hare Krishna, you have to test it. You have to test. Chant with some faith. Prabhupada says in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, introduction to Bhagavad Gita, he says, you may not accept that Krishna is God, but if you theoretically accept Krishna as God and read Bhagavad Gita in that spirit, then you may be able to understand. Just theoretically accept. You might think, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, is this Krishna speaking? How do they know Krishna speaking? Who can write down what the Supreme Lord said? How did, you know, we can have so many doubts. But if we just theoretically accept that Krishna is in his name, we might not be able to perceive his presence. But Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that Krishna is in his name. He's personally present in his name. He personally manifests himself in his name so he can make himself more accessible to us. Because otherwise, it's very difficult for him to be accessible to us. We don't have the eyes to see him. But if we hear him, we can hear. And Prabhupada gives the example, in this age, hearing is even more important than seeing. And he gives the example that if a person is in a dangerous situation and he's lying in bed, and somebody's about to kill him, if somebody puts a sign in front of his eyes which says, wake up, somebody's about to kill you, his eyes won't save him, but his ears will. If he screams, wake up, somebody's about to kill you, then that hearing can save you. So more important than seeing God is hearing him. And he's made himself accessible by hearing his name. He acts. Prabhupada says, just like if you put an iron rod in a fire, it's iron. But the the longer you keep in the association of fire, it becomes just like fire. Krishna's name is Pavitram, it's pure. If we keep ourselves in the association of Krishna's name, we become pure. And we begin to perceive the change of consciousness and the purity that begins to manifest. And even if it doesn't manifest so quickly, at least we develop the desire to become purified. That all happens simply by coming in contact with Krishna's name. So have some faith and keep on chanting. And you'll see, it will act. Prabhupada gives the example also. A young child, when it touches fire, the fire doesn't say, oh, it's just a child, I won't burn him. No, fire burns. If a child touches or adult touches, it doesn't make any difference. Fire burns. It will act. Krishna's in his name. We may not fully understand Krishna's name, but if we go on chanting Krishna's name, it will act. We may not fully understand how it's acting, but it will act, just as fire will act. Even in a child who doesn't understand, fire burns. Does that answer your question? Okay. Thank you. So, we can... What's next? Who is Vanamali Pandit? What's next? More kirtan? Till what time are you going to serve prasadam? We can have a kirtan, stand up kirtan? Because everybody's been sitting for a while.
No, I think we should have the last kirtan and stand up.
Well, that means everybody has to stand up.